Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me saying got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, I'ma win as a turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm a climber with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russin Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Session 312 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. That just happened.
Yes.
Shake and bake. Ugh. All right, well, it is almost a week until draft time, like almost. You know what? Actually, you know what I want to do? Hey, Rocky, how long have you been playing fantasy football?
Wait, I think we've done this before.
It's probably been a few years.
Let's do this again. How long have you're going to interview me? Is that what we're doing?
I'm interviewing you. I am doing it. Rocky, how long have you been playing
fantasy football? How long have I been playing fantasy football? At least 25 years. Late 90s. So, been in the same redraft league since 2001. And I think I did some random ones before that.
I know and currently talk to two, family not included, two people that I knew in 2001.
Yeah, I most of that league is still, like, I think seven of us are the same people that were there in 2001. That's crazy. And I remember I hadn't played a lot of fantasy at that point. I'd been in some random leagues in the 90s. Like, but not consistently. And I believe I drafted two quarterbacks in the first six rounds in one quarterback redraft league. No, I didn't know what I was doing.
Oh, yeah. We were all there. Before the olden days, before we were initiated.
Yes.
All right, so you've been playing fantasy football for longer than some of our listeners have been alive. Good to know. How long have you been playing Dynasty for?
My first league was in 2015. Yeah, 2015. As you, I think, like to point out, right around the time of that, when people say something in that range, around the time of that wide receiver draft. Yeah.
Odell Beckham changed it all for us.
Yep. And then that was a home league. And then I started a home league, I think, in 2017, which was a lot of fun because we did an auction draft. It's not an auction league, but we did a live auction draft, too. We had a guy not in the league was the auctioneer. It was a lot of fun. And then I got into the whole Twitter thing in 2018. Which is when I got in TA3 and a few other leagues. And then, of course, as what happens with most of us, I spiraled from there, and I'm now in 39 leagues.
Yeah, man, you went – well, I mean, at some point – I don't – I'm trying to remember if I ever hit the 40s. I don't think
– I think at one point I did, but I've cut down a few. I might be – I think it's actually like 37, because I think two-folded this year.
Yeah, I'm not sure I ever went over 36, and – Zach in the chat saying that 2014 was the Jarvis Landry draft.
Oh, yes, of course.
Sorry, I misspoke.
That's what turned me on to Dynasty. I had to have Jarvis Landry on my team for as long as I possibly could.
Oh, here we go. We got Roman in the chat saying 25 years doing fantasy. Same league I've ran for the last 20 years, Keeper League, where Deuce McAllister was his first pick.
I have no memory of what my first pick was. And I just remember, I think it was a quarterback in the first. So I do remember that, but I don't remember who it was. Maybe Tom Brady? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember any of that. Like, I remember like the 07 area having Chris and Andre Johnson on the same team. And like maybe, and before that, having Kurt Warner, stacking Warner and Larry Fitzgerald and just thinking I was the king. But like, I can't remember that far back.
Anyway. I do remember one year in that redraft league early on that the Warner and Leinart were like up for like both up for the Cardinals job before he became Kurt Warner again.
Yeah.
And I found out the day of the draft that Warner was going to be the starter, and I was so proud of myself for drafting him in like the 13th round. And he had a great year that year, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
That started the sickness. That started needing the info. All right. What are some of the best and worst trades you've made in your 84 years in fantasy football?
Oh, God. I wasn't prepared for this, Russ.
Well, we know you got Patty.
Yeah, we talked about that recently. That's the one that always comes to mind. Oh, and I've mentioned my worst before, too, which I'll just repeat here, too, because it's the easiest one for me to remember. So the best is the one, I think we just talked about this a few weeks ago, where I don't know if it was one of the shows you were on or not, but where I traded in a points per carry league that I started. It was the first league I started after getting into Dynasty Twitter and all that, my Breaking Bad league that you're now in. And it has a points per carry, 0.25. And I traded Jay Ajayi when he was whatever you want to call Jay Ajayi's prime, if such a thing exists, and Eli Manning for a post-rookie year Patrick Mahomes. I mentioned last time, I even hesitated making the trade because I wasn't sure about Patrick Mahomes. We didn't know what he was then. And I literally accepted it after I remember this vividly. I was in Wildwood waiting for my kids on a roller coaster. And I got an alert that he threw like a 60-yard bomb to Tyreek Hill in the preseason or something like that. I was like, okay, that's a sign. I'm going to accept this. And yeah, it turned out pretty well. I never did win the damn league though, but
you never, worked pretty well. You never win leagues you run. It's just the way it is. Like,
yeah.
The question most important, did that person, the person that did that trade with you quit the league like immediately?
No. It was two guys who co-owned together and they were in the league for quite a while. One recently left, but the other guy's still there. They have won since that trade.
And okay. So it was worth it in the long run. And I'm assuming it had nothing to do with Eli Manning and Jay Ajayi.
No, nothing. It was after that. But after they got rid of those two. And the worst one I know I've mentioned on this show before, too, which was in that home Dynasty League, the first Dynasty League I got in. I remember me, I co-managed with a buddy of mine that's in the 20-year redraft league. And we were both not fans of Christian McCaffrey coming out. You know, we didn't think we thought he was going to be a third down back. He wasn't going to be as good as he was all hyped up to be. He was just going to catch some balls, but wasn't going to be able to carry a full workload. But because of where he was still kind of hyped, and we drafted, it's one quarterback league. We drafted him, I think, at the 102. And then before the season even started, traded him for Paul Perkins and a future, I think it was a 20, I don't remember the next, 2018 first, I guess. Was he the 2017 class?
Yeah.
A 2018 first, which did turn out to be the 102, and we proceeded to draft Rashad Penny at the 102.
Well, that was your fault. I mean, to be fair, I probably would have drafted, like, Bryce Love there, and it would have gone equally as terrible, but still. What is a guiding principle you take with you, whether you're offering or evaluating a trade?
I guess I would say I always try and fit people's needs. Even in, we always talk about in the off season, starting lineups don't matter, but to a lot of people they do. So I always try and see like, what does this person think they need? And that's what I try. I don't just try and like target specific players. Usually, I usually tend to just kind of look around my leagues, look at rosters and say, this guy might think he needs running back, or this guy thinks he needs a tight end, probably thinks he needs a tight end. And then I just try and work a trade around that if I have what I think they need.
Yeah. It's funny. Like I always, like whenever anyone's answering that question, I stop and think how I would answer it. And I have zero answer. Like, it's so funny. Like anytime I talk to Peter Howard, he's like, how do you do what you do? Seriously, you're good at trading. What do you do? And I'm like, I like buttons, so yeah. I press them a lot.
That's like, your guiding principle in trading, pressing buttons.
That's my guiding principle. Like, of course, there's players I like to go after. You know, I will talk about Devonta Smith in a little bit. Like, I've gone after him like real bad in the past 2 years. T. Higgins, of course, still love that guy. And like, you know, I've been sending a couple of Bryce Young offers, especially just because I see what people value him at, and I don't think he's that bad. Of course, I sent, you know, I sent like 20 offers today because I realized what day it was. And I sent the 111 for Bryce Young. It got very quickly rejected. But the reason that stuck out to me was because when I first joined the Breaking Bad League, I did a Downhouse Challenge, and almost every single offer had Bryce Young involved in it. People trying to get him off my team. And the best offer I got was the 111. And I would have just smash rejected that if it was just up to me. Thankfully, thank you, Twitter. You helped me out on that one. Of course, I got zero trades done that day, but that's besides the point. But like, you know, like I don't really have a thing I do. Like, I don't have any secret sauce that I, it's literally just clicking a lot of buttons and maybe just not talking about the really bad things I do, except for the one you brought up, Jay Ajayi. My worst trade was involving him as well, but I traded for him and your best. Okay, so there's a theme. My worst was trading for him. Your best was trading him away. All right, lesson learned. Lesson learned. Okay.
Your guiding principle is pressing buttons and hashtag big Clemson wide receiver.
Hashtag team Clemson big wide receivers. You have to go after some Mike Williams just in case.
Yeah.
Because he'll be a thing now.
Oh, of course.
Garrett Wilson, with wide receiver team.
Yeah.
No. All right. So news is a very strong word for these things we have, but there are one or two. Well, these are three things because they're three wide receivers and three wide receivers I happen to like. So we're going to talk about it a little bit. So the first one is T. Higgins says that he expects to stay on the Bengals in 2024. Jeremy Fowler reiterated the Bengals have no plans to trade him. And I love that Frank puts these little things in because this one.
I know, me right too.
You know, but it feels very AJ Brown in 2021 for them to reiterate that right now. I love any time when it's the month of the draft and some GM's like, we are not accepting calls on this player. We are not. We have no intention of trading this player. Yeah, they are. They're saying that name so it's in your head. That is all they're doing. And like, I'm just saying, the Jaguars didn't do anything at wide receiver. It's my dream is still alive.
It's hard to see it happening in the draft this year with so many like this. I was just talking with somebody in one of my leagues today, and they said the over under on some FanDuel or someplace like that for wide receivers drafted in the first round is 6.5. Like
6.5. Yeah.
Why would you bother trading for a wide receiver? You know, potentially a high pick for a T. Higgins when there's 6-7 first round worthy guys potentially just draft.
I'm curious what you would have to like. Again, it's tough because I don't know what the NFL really does. But are you giving up do you have to give up a first for T. Higgins right now, or even like a 24 first? I mean,
I don't think so. You got to pay him too.
That's exactly like that's the big thing, you know. So, like, if you were to give up a 24 second or third and you're 25 first and you're a playoff team, like, man, that's rough. Like, Kansas City, I mean, just to throw something out there because, man, you have to go pretty up. Pittsburgh at 20? Like, I don't want that to happen, but.
Apparently they won Ayuk.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that in a second. But I'm trying to picture that 5 in the black and yellow and it makes me a little nauseated.
I'm sure Har would like it.
Yeah, but or like, I mean, even if it's like the Giants giving up the 206, and I guess maybe them giving up their firsts ever is a terrible idea because they're always going to be terrible and they're always going to have early firsts. But it's the Giants also don't make fun moves like that, so that wouldn't happen. But like, that's something I could think maybe a little bit more realistic happening as opposed to a 1-for-1 swap. But like, Treylon Burks was drafted pretty early, and I get that T. Higgins might not be what A.J. Brown was perceived to be back then. Mm-hmm. But like,
Yeah, I don't think you can get it first. I don't think in the NFL, I don't think you can get it first.
Yeah. Like I'm sitting here looking and trying to figure out like, even like if it's the second round, like Las Vegas, man, I saw Pete Schrager's mock draft where Minnesota took like Roma Dunze or something. And I mean, no, not Roma Dunze.
Brian Thomas.
Brian, yeah, like why are they no, don't ruin wide receivers. Yeah. Like I remember I was scrolling through the mock and
no, like, I got no. I did look at that mock. I think they actually took a quarterback. So you, I don't know. You might be thinking
no, of at their second. Else. Oh, they took Bo Nix at their
yeah. 23. Yeah. Oh, that's right. They said they have 12 and 23.
Hold on, I need to pull this up. So I remember I was because I scroll and they have the Giants trading up with the from the Cardinals to go get J.J. McCarthy. So at 5 goes Marvin Harrison Jr. At 6 goes Rome Odunze to the Cardinals. So the Chargers get Harrison at 5. The Cardinals get Rome Odunze at 6. And I just screenshot and I go, this is so sexy. And then I go down.
7 of the first 9 picks are dynasty picks, like dynasty players, like fantasy relevant players in that mock.
Yeah, but then you get down to 9 and Indianapolis taking Malik Nabers, which I hate. And then the Jets taking Brock Bowers. And then I just go, this is not sexy.
Yeah, I hated the Brock Bowers. Is that just, are you just because you're not a Richardson believer or Pittman or both?
Pittman.
That you don't like the Nabers thing.
And Downs. I hate it.
Well, I just think that kills Downs more than it makes me worry about Nabers.
Well, I just don't like it in general because I don't think Richardson is great. And it's, I mean, to say it's crowded doesn't do Nabers justice because Nabers is definitely better than Downs and maybe better than Pittman. But still, I don't like it. That doesn't need to happen. Like, I hate it enough where they kept having Bowers going to the Colts. But I like that better than them taking Nabers.
Yeah, me too. I hate Bowers to the Jets, though.
And they don't have a pass catcher, besides Garrett Wilson. So maybe it's not terrible. But the whole problem is that we need Aaron Rodgers to play more than 30 seconds.
And if Aaron Rodgers can stay healthy, maybe it's not bad. But, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, maybe this year and maybe one more if we're lucky? And you're probably waiting at least a year for Bowers to really come into his own, unless he, Sam LaPorta is it this year, which he might. But we all thought Kyle Pitts was going to go crazy his first year, too, and he didn't do that, so...
He did very good. He just
did. He 1,000 yards. We all remember he got 1,000 yards. Just couldn't score a damn touchdown. But yeah.
Oh man, that's another guy I need to try and go out for. I'll pay a little bit into that hype. I was going through I was writing my Trading Post article for DLF, and I was doing it on late firsts. And someone in a one quarterback league traded the 111 for Kyle Pitts, and I'm like, what? That's so low in a one quarterback league.
I know.
And I get that it's not a tight end premium league. And then ours jumps to 0.75. But in a super flex league, if I can, even a super flex league, I'd give the 111 so easily. I'd give anything around a Bowers pick, right? Is there close to each other?
111, God, that's in a super flex league, that's the 204 or something this year. There's 5 quarterbacks that are going to go, ahead of what a 1QB 111 is going to be.
All right, so the next thing, Ayuk's agent says he hasn't requested a trade, but Ayuk also unfollowed Niners social media this week. So who knows what's happening there? Man, the second the Super Bowl ended, Ayuk was mouthing off. It kind of felt like things were bad.
Oh, yeah. Between them. I love that I also exposed you to the Mike Tomlin, Brandon Ayuk likeness.
Yes. They look alike. They look
so hilarious. It's Mike Tomlin I think he's in dreads. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, if Ayuk does the crazy thing and cuts his hair, then he needs to go to Pittsburgh. Then he needs to go to the Steelers. So
I don't think he can, though. It'll be too confusing.
That's why you got to do it. it'll be in Mighty Ducks 2, where they put Russ, they put Keenan Thompson in the goalie outfit, and he just rips it off at the end, and it's... And he does the knuckle puck. That's what they'll do. Somehow they'll rip it off. And Mike Tomlin's just going to start barreling people over. I mean, it doesn't really work because Ayuk's very good also. But it made me laugh. Leave me alone. And also, in Schrager's mock draft, he had Ladd McConkey going to the Niners in the first.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like Ayuk's going to be there by the start of the season. So that makes
sense. Yeah, again, and it's funny, because what you said, And it's such a tough idea to picture wide receiver movement right now because the fact that there's so many good wide receivers in this draft. And I know, NFL above anything else will believe in talent they've seen versus talent that is coming into the league. And also paying people is a very big deal, and because cap matters. So, like, that's why the Titans traded pretty much AJ Brown for Treylon Burks. A lot of it had to do with not wanting or being able to pay AJ Brown. So you got to hope that there's some, you know, cash happy team that has a pick and they're just like, yeah, we could draft a wide receiver, but let's go pay that guy. And it would be Ayuk or Higgins. But you know who it won't be? Won't be Devonta Smith.
It won't be Devonta Smith.
3-year extension, baby. So Devonta is an Eagle until 2028, and I love that so much. Like, I remember liking Devonta his rookie year. Drafted Devonta over Jalen Waddle literally every single draft possible, to the point where I had to go overpay for Waddle in a couple of places afterwards to go get him. But I remember seeing him play, and I'm like, man, they need an alpha on that team. And then Devonta is going to be great. And then
I remember you saying that. Yeah.
And I love it. And I love that they're both, like, I love it. I love it. I'm so excited by this.
And I think he has evolved to the point where he could be the one on a good team. But I agree with you. I think the setup they have now is perfect. And I guess they're never, I mean, Smith is never going to probably be that top five guy for fantasy because of AJ Brown. But he is so good in real life. Like, if you watch, just watching him on a weekly basis, he is so good. He's like this amazing body control, great sideline catches. And he's still good for fantasy, even with AJ Brown there. Like you said, he's the two of them just complement each other, and it works real well. And they tend to funnel most of the stuff to those three guys. We'll see with Barkley this year. That's going to be interesting because you would think they have some sort of like it seems dumb to sign Saquon Barkley and then never throw him the ball. So,
like, remember 2 years ago when the Eagles were a running team?
That's yeah.
Like when they had Miles Sanders, no less, and Boston Scott. Like
the second half of that year, they were just running nonstop.
And their wide receivers were still scoring fantasy points, and Jalen Hurts was still getting his points, but they were a run first team, and it seemed like bringing in Swift that's what they wanted to do too. But that offense just fell apart completely.
It did, yeah.
And bringing in all new everything, you know, in the front will shake things up at least. I mean, we can't say it's going to make them better, but again, pointing out that Jalen Hurts was the QB2 in points per game in what seemed to be a terrible half of a season just shows you that Jalen Hurts, even just for fantasy, is very good.
Yeah, and I think I've mentioned this before, but as bad as the second half was, they still finished 7th in the league in points. So assuming they don't fall apart in the second half here, there's top 3 upside, in terms of being an offense in the actual league. And if there's lots of points being scored, that's a lot of fantasy points to go around.
Yeah, so let's tie in this offer you were talking about before we started. What are as a Philly guy, as you are, Dallas Goedert has just like tanked in value. And like at the start of this past season, he was one of those guys that, you know, at tight end, you either have the elite guys, you have guys you feel good starting, and then you have guys you hope not to cry when you start them. And Dallas Goedert fit into that guys you felt good starting. But then this season happened, and it really didn't feel that way. And then his value just kept going down. Now,
yeah, that's why I mentioned it before the show, because I wanted to get your take on this, because I am so unsure where to value him. Like, I was offered basically the 2-0 to give up the 201s, 113 in the TA league. So the 201 essentially, and he threw in a couple of thirds, but I probably wouldn't have included the thirds even if I accepted it, which I haven't. But for Dallas Goedert, and I'm hesitating. Like, I think a year ago I would have like smashed that. And I don't know where to value Dallas Goedert right now. In a 1.75 premium league, should I be giving the 201 for Dallas Goedert?
I mean, okay, so I pulled up the scoring, and it's not okay. It's tough, because you say he was the tight end 10 in points per game, and part of that doesn't sound too bad, but then you remember what the tight end 10 really is.
Yeah.
In a 0.75 premium, he put up 13.7 points per game, and that's with goose egging week 1. He did miss a couple of games, but again, points per game doesn't matter. he seemed to have more decent games than really bad games. He had a bunch of games at like 10 points, which,
yeah,
again, doesn't kill you, but at the time you were paying more for him than you would have been happy with these 10 points per game. But had a couple of games along the way of 31, 22, and then ending the season with a 19 and a 19. So, like, at that point, yeah, giving up the 113 probably isn't bad, but I would either go pay less for Jake Ferguson, Cole Kmet, you know, pay less for someone that scored very similarly.
Or pay up for Kyle Pitts or an elite, like a leave elite guy, yeah.
Or pay the same and go get Travis Kelce.
Yeah,
because that's true. You're not really paying a first for Travis Kelce right now, so... I don't know if it's me, like, well, I always admit that I get completely stuck when it comes to players I like, and Goddard, I was one of the tight ends. It wasn't until recently that I became lazier is what it comes down to. I hit a certain amount of leagues and I was just like, I don't want to stream tight ends anymore. I just want a guy I can start every week and call it a day. I got tired of it. And that was really only 3-4 years ago. It was pretty recently, like longer into my 0.75 premium league than I'd like to admit, because that really just is a very sure way to give yourself an advantage in our leagues. But like Goddard was one of my most owned tight ends going across because it was a guy that you paid a late first for, but he still put up 18, 19 points per game. Like he was doing, not Duckett, that's a little too high, like 16 points per game, which was good for a top five tight end. And I don't think I'm really there on it anymore. I think he's fallen a combination of him being meh this year and the young tight ends coming in and doing well right away. Like Kincaid finished at just about 13 points per game, and that's with starting out really slowly. Yeah. You know,
and I was just looking at the list of points per game, and like, do you have to pay that much more than the 113 for Evan Engram at this point? Like, I got him
for seconds in TA 9 a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. So, I mean, and Evan Engram's was a 17.7 points per game guy last year.
I believe tight end in four, our scoring, yeah. He was the tight end four for the past 2 years.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think I was right to not accept that earlier today.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't think it's egregious in any way, shape, or form, but yeah, no. You're right. And especially if the Jaguars don't do anything at wide receiver, and like even like drafting wide receiver still would make me believe that Engram might be first in the passing order. They do like they always constantly say they want Christian Kirk to be involved. Like even when Christian Kirk was involved in the offense, they said they want to get Christian Kirk more involved in the offense. So like I feel like he will still be their pass catcher one, but Evan Engram, like, is, even if they draft a wide receiver, I think will be the pass catcher too. So you know me, I'm all good with that.
Since we don't have trades, which shame on you, TA leagues, we have zero trades of significance so this week. Yeah, but I guess shame on me and Russ too for not getting something done before the show. But I had another offer and that I did not accept, and a counter offer. I'm curious what you think of both.
Cool.
I'm pretty sure you're going to agree with me on declining the offer that I declined, which was. And I don't have a huge need at quarterback in this league.
You don't got a huge need for anything in April, Rocky.
Well, you know what I mean,
Rocky.
Quarterback, I actually do pay attention to that more, even in the non-point scoring season. If I only have like one quarterback or something, I might try and go out and get one. But
yeah, you get it. I get it.
Yeah. I don't. That's not the situation here anyway. But it was Russell Wilson and Deontay Johnson for Waddle. So I know Waddle's value is down, but that is an easy reject, correct?
Correct. I am. I believe in Waddle still. And again, it's really funny. I wrote a Trading Post article about Waddle. He had, I think it last year where he was the wide receiver 24, mm-hmm. He had 400 less yards and like two less touchdowns than he did the year before when he was the wide receiver 12. He didn't have that bad of a season. It's just that Tyreek happened and a bunch of wide receivers also had very good years. So like, I'm not concerned about Waddle at all. I still really like him, just to put that out.
So given that, I'm curious of you, because I think I sent a counter that I thought might get accepted, and I'm not even sure I wanted to do it.
I love the anxiety based, that causes. Yeah,
based off the trade that he had sent, which was I sent him, okay, I'll give you Waddle, give me Deontay and a 25 first. Would you do that? I think
that's insanely reasonable for you. Like, so, okay, we were having this conversation in the TA8 chat, Deontay Johnson's value. And because someone, well, first, let's put this way. I love how some people use the trade bait, and this is a fantastic way of doing it. Someone updated their trade bait saying that specifically what they would want for specific players. Mm-hmm. And someone asked for a first for Deontay Johnson, and it sparked a lot of conversation. And I didn't get my notification. I saw it like a day and a half late, and I'm like, well, I'm not re-sparking this because that just seems like a weird move to do. But I was very interested in a lot of their points where, and it brought up a lot of the very good points of the difference between ADP and startup value and trade value, mm-hmm. which are ADP and startup value are pieces of value ideas, but really don't really equate to trade value. And then what trade calculators and analyzers do, like putting together, like let's.
I was just going to say, later first, I think, tend to get devalued in startups, especially. Like, because that was one of the arguments in that. I read that, too. It was that, I think, Deontay and somebody else, Godwin, I think it was, yeah, was going ahead of, like, the 110, 111, and someone else was saying, no one is trading for, you know, giving the 110 or 111 for those guys in existing leagues, which I agree with. But I think in drafts, people, it's kind of like what I was saying, like, about the non-point scoring season with trades, like some people want to fill their lineup, and especially in startups, I think it's even more so. People want to have that lineup filled out, and it's not about value. They want to make sure they have all their starters first, and then move on from there. Unless someone's going with the productive struggle, and then they start taking the picks. But so I think especially later first tend to get devalued in startups, which probably pushes guys and people want starters, which pushes guys like Deontay and Godwin ahead of them.
Yeah, and so, like, if we were to say Deontay Johnson equals, like, the 201, 202, which I think is insanely reasonable on its own, right? Straight up early second for Deontay Johnson seems like both people would probably leave that happy. Maybe throw in, the 201 and the 212. Like, why not? Just here you go.
Yeah.
You know, 201 and the 301, you know, you have both picks. So that plus – so the 201 and the 25 first for Waddle, you're right. It's a little – it feels a little light for what I believe Waddle is, but
that's what I thought, but it got rejected. Yeah.
That's crazy.
And I'm the one giving up Waddle. I thought I was afraid it was going to go. I wanted to get something done for the show. I'm like, okay, I'd be willing. And it's partially because I love Deontay too. Like
you do. And that's why that's another reason. I wouldn't have batted an eye if you did it because you got a guy you liked in that situation. Yeah.
And even in Carolina, I think he's going to get a bunch of targets. And if Bryce Young takes a jump, of any significance, he could have a pretty good season. So,
well, since we are live for people watching on YouTube, Austin is saying, Russ, I should turn on my on-air sign.
No, he shouldn't.
first of all, before the plug got ripped out of the wire got ripped out of the switch, it lit up so bright you couldn't see what it said.
Yeah.
But yeah, my daughter got a little overzealous trying to pick it up to turn it on and just ripped the cord out and the end. Ugh. But yeah, so again, that does feel light for Jalen Waddle for me, but I feel like for what the world is valuing Jalen Waddle at right now, that does seem reasonable. And it makes me sad and kind of want to go trade for Jalen Waddle, though like I said, I sent a lot of offers today, so I went looking at all my teams. I still have a lot of Waddle shares.
Oh, I do too. And I have a lot of Deontay too. So, but obviously this league, I only had one of them. So,
all right, before the chat moves too far, we have Kev Wheeler asking, Neighbors or Bowers in a 1.75 premium?
I think it's still got to be Neighbors.
It's Neighbors for me too. I have my top five pretty locked at this point. Like even if, I'm at the point where I'm buying into the idea that J.J. McCarthy's going to get drafted top 10. It just...
Oh, he is.
It's too much now.
That mock had him at four that we were talking about.
Yeah, that's crazy. I don't know if I'm ready for that, but great for the Cardinals if they could trade back two spots. Like, that would be beautiful for them. Like, yeah, instead of getting Marvin Harrison, they get Malik Nabers. Oh, that's so sad. or Roma Dunes. Like, oh no, so sad. Like, so I would go Nabers over Bowers because I do believe that Nabers is that guy. Like, I really do believe that Nabers is that guy. I waffle back and forth between Odunze and Bowers, but I'm at the point where I go Bowers over Odunze. And that might be, like, because, in Schrager's mock draft, Odunze went before Nabers. And if that happens, that might change everything for me, especially with those specific landing spots. That would change things for me. And I know that landing spot's not really supposed to change things, but that's a big change.
But like, and they're close. Like,
yeah.
And I'm the same where you are. Like last non-point scoring season, I've slacked off in my actual watching of guys. But just from everything I'm hearing, like Nabers in any other class is the easy wide receiver one on a level with like a lot of the top wide receivers that come out in the last decade, basically. It's just he happens to be in a class with another guy that's one of the top wide receivers that's come out in the last decade. And it seems like he's almost can't miss. Landing spot could affect things, but... So if he goes to like the Jets, that's, I don't know, that's scary to me. I know he's supposed to be great, but I just worry a little bit about that. I still would have him at like six, but I think I would have Nabers ahead of like, they're basically like 5-6 for me.
Yeah. And Zach Reed, Test of Assassin 13, the Dynasty Dummy himself, is in the chat saying Bowers, and there's about like 23 or 24 greater signs than Odunze. And I take most of my knowledge from Zach's brain. So, I mean, I guess I'll stick with that. At what premium do I take Bowers over Nabers? The question is, do I? I am not, like 1.75 is the highest that premium that I play in, assuming that I did not misread and that Breaking Bad is 2.0. It is not, right?
No, it's the Breaking Bad, I think, is actually 1.5. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Just making sure that I didn't, so I don't know, man. Like, when you hit 2.0,
at that point,
might not matter what I think, because when you hit 2.0 or 2 tight end, you got to boost Bowers just because your league will boost Bowers. Like, that's the real thing. If you hit 2.0, and I know it's just a 0.25 difference, but it's the same difference as seeing the 112 versus the 201. They're one pick apart, but it matters.
2.0 is, like, it just stands out compared to 1.75. And even then, I think, would push him above Nabers for me. I'm still taking the three quarterbacks in Harrison before Bowers, even in 2.0.
Yeah, if I were in a 2.0 or a two tight end league, that's one of those things where I trade back one pick at a time for someone to take Bowers so I don't have to, and try and gain a little every single time, because that's not a decision I want to make. Like, until I get to that 5 or 6 where I'm like, all right, let me just go take Bowers if he's still there. I get it, and I am not one of those people that's so burned by Kyle Pitts that I don't want to take a tight end early anymore. Like, that's not why I'm even saying this. It really just is my belief that Nabers is that good, and that's why I'll keep him above him regardless of the scoring. And that might just be positional bias, like, you know, me loving me on my wide receivers and all, but I think he's that good that he should be above there. And I'm also fine with tight ends, especially paying that wait and see tax, where let him have his year, let the price calm down a little bit, and then I'll go pay more than the 105, 106 for him when he scores. But Kev asks another question, which I'm curious to get at. The 101 or 106 and Kyler Murray in a super flex tight end premium. I think I take the 106 and Kyler Murray here.
Yeah, that was pretty, honestly, pretty easy for me, but I'm a big Kyler Murray stan, so.
I've been one, apparently.
And 106,
I wasn't ready for that, but
106, like we're talking about, is still an elite. Like, those top six, I would love to come away with any of those top six guys. So, and I'm getting Kyler Murray on top. Like, it's very, very, very conceivable to me that Kyler Murray has a better, you know, rest of their career. Like, the next 4 years, Kyler Murray is better than Caleb Williams. Like, we don't know what Caleb Williams is going to be. There's been a lot of guys that have been, like, Trevor Lawrence has not been.
Hey.
Has not been the amazing, and Caleb's like the best since Lawrence, and Lawrence was the best since Luck, and all that stuff. And Lawrence has been good, but not amazing. And it's very possible. And I don't love Caleb going to the Bears either. So it's even with the two receivers he has now. I just, the Bears scare me. The Bears have never had, like, really developed a good quarterback. So I think it's very possible that. You know, Kyler Murray easily outproduce, not easily, but definitely outproduces Caleb for the next few years. And you're getting an elite prospect on top of that, probably Bowers or Neighbors. So I would take that side pretty easily for me.
Yeah, I'm there too. I just pulled up DLF April Superflex ADP, and Caleb and Kyler are next to each other. QB 9 for Caleb Williams and QB 10 for Kyler Murray, but it's pick overall, like, rank, it's 12 and 13. Like, they're next to each other. Their ADP, like, the actual averaged pick is 12.75 and 15.25. So, like, a 2.5 pick difference, which is absolutely nothing. So I'm still... it's really fun. Like, I remember the year and a half of you just being like, go get Kyler. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to get Kyler. Yeah. I don't think I'm like, I'll wait. And then I waited and I'm like, okay, let me go get Kyler. And I've done it a lot. And his
value, you can still, because I was just going to say, you can still get him for not that much more than when I was saying, go get Kyler. Yeah.
Go to the bathroom already.
Yeah, we might as well just call it out since
you're sitting there rocking back and forth, and I'm trying to do this to tell you to go when you're not going anywhere.
Well, I was engaged in conversation, Russ. But
I know I'm compelling. I can't.
We might as well show up what viewers are going to get if they subscribe to the Patreon. Rocky bathroom break. So
yeah, Rocky going away in the middle of the show. Yeah. It's because I stopped and I thought about it. The reason I thought about it for a second was and Zach even said it later, that Kyler is greater than or equal to the 101 for him. And I don't know if I'm ready to say those words out loud, but I just said right now that they're equal enough. And of course, the pick is always worth more than the player because it gives you the freedom, it gives you the power and all of that stuff. But I feel like 99% of leagues, of Superflex leagues right now, Caleb Williams is that guy. He is the 101. I have a feeling that even in TA leagues, there's going to be one where, like, Marvin Harrison goes first. And then there's going to be one where another quarterback goes first, because heaven forbid, like, these guys give me solid ADP, because they always got to mess with me a little bit. Thankfully, there's no J Mike Invitationals this year. But yeah, so even if they were close, even if it was Caleb by a second, Caleb by a late first, the 106 more than covers that. And then Austin asks, if the Vikings trade up for J.J. McCarthy, is it Daniels or J.J. at that point in rookie drafts? It's still Daniels. I'm not really sure what it would take for me to. And then again, Zach says, if the Bears took J.J. at one, it's still Daniels for me. And I think I'm there, too. If anything, just because of their style of play for fantasy football, definitely leads towards Daniels being better for us. And so I might as well ride with that. It's the same reason people were taking Anthony Richardson over CJ Stroud and sometimes over Bryce Young. Like, it's, you know, it's part of what we have to take into account, because we're not playing in the NFL. We're not playing anything that has to do with the real NFL. We're playing fantasy football that has to do with running and passing and stats more than it does like real play. And Jaden Daniels absolutely matters in that. And asking the very, very rational question of, even if though JJ would have a killer supporting cast, that would make me like Brock Purdy. Like, Brock Purdy's fine. He finished the QB6 in points per game this year. Of course, you know, Burrow and Herbert and a lot of people got hurt, but like, that's what I would do. Like, JJ McCarthy ends up in Minnesota and he has Anthony Richardson, Jordan Addison. Eventually we'll get, he needs to change his name to something with a J. We have to change it to JT Hawkinson now. So it's Jordan, Addison, Justin Jefferson, JT, Hawkinson. Like, yeah, that will make him good. But like, I'm not going to sit here and think that it's going to elevate him to the... I'd still take Anthony Richardson over him because I still think Anthony Richardson has a better shot at taking advantage of fantasy football than JJ McCarthy does.
So yes, I agree because I heard all of that.
All of it. All of it. We actually do have some listener questions that were given to us through Twitter before we started. So let's get to those before I either A, fall asleep on air, or B, just don't want to talk anymore. At J Milner 2, since it's startup season, is it? This might be the first year in as long as I can remember that I haven't done a startup.
Me either. I know. I think I did at least one last year, but the last couple of years have been light on startups for me.
Last year was 11.
Yeah. Wasn't
it? No, yeah. TA11 was last year, right?
Yeah, but I think that might have been the only one I did, yeah.
Yeah, that was the only one I did too. Well, Rocky drank a couple of beers, and that's why he had to go to the bathroom. So since it's startup season, if you were in picks 6 through 11 in a Superflex startup, what would you pay in 25 picks to swap spots, if anything, to the 101? So if I – okay, so here's the thing. Let me – I have Superflex ADP pulled up. Let me – I want to read through the top 12 because it's interesting. Josh – again, this is just DLF. Whatever sites you read might be different and all that stuff, but this is all I have in front of me. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, love seeing Lamar Jackson at QB4. CJ Stroud, Joe Burrow. At pick 7, we get our non-quarterbacks in Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase. And then it goes Justin Herbert, Anthony Richardson, CeeDee Lamb, Caleb Williams at 12, which Kyler Murray's 13, so he's the 201. Mm-hmm. So honestly, I think I'm trading back to get Kyler Murray at the 12 as opposed to trading up. But if I'm sitting here in this area where it's like, I don't want to draft, if I'm at 11 and CeeDee Lamb goes in front of me and I'm sitting there staring at Anthony Richardson and I want to say, let me just reach out to the guy that drafted Patrick Mahomes and see if I can give him this pick and whatever to trade for this pick and give you Patrick Mahomes, I'd give my entire 25 draft. Like,
I don't think that gets it done.
Exactly. That's the thing. Like, that's why I'm saying, like, the question was, what of your 25 picks? And my answer is all of them, if that would work. And I would honestly, again, like, I have to keep going back. Like, I would even be fine at pick 15 is Amon-Ra St. Brown, but also, like, pick 14 is Bijan, and I'm not taking Bijan there. So, like, I could hit that top of the second and still feel happy with the players on board. Like, so, like, if I'm at the early second, like, yeah. And Kyler Murray and Caleb Williams just went, and I'm like, let me see what it takes to move up. Like, I would give my second round pick, probably my third round startup pick, and then my 25 first on top and just ask for, like, a sixth or seventh round startup pick back. Something that's not...
You know I don't like to pay up for quarterback. I would easily give up my whole 25 draft plus CeeDee Lamb or Anthony Richardson or Caleb Williams for Mahomes or Allen. And like you said, I don't think that's going to get it done. I don't know if I would go, like you said, with the third round pick, because I at that point I think I might just rather take Kyler and have my third round pick still or something. No.
I changed my answer to after Kyler went. And honestly, my answer is I would just take Dak Prescott, but. You know, again, I'm trying to actually answer the question,
right?
You know,
and also, by the way, Roman mentions in the chat, which I saw recently, that yeah. Stroud is QB1 on KTC,
that is,
which is a joke. And why wow. I hate why KTC is, I'm sorry, I think it's trash, but
it has a place, but it's not for trade value, it is literally just for fun.
Yeah,
like Heat Trade Cut is the joke on, you know, marry F kill. Like, that's what it is. Like, it's literally just
That's not a way to determine dynasty value.
Yeah, it's hot or not. It's not real value. And again, I understand how the thought process went there. Like, this is pure evaluation. That's all it is. Yeah. But they're not asking the right questions to get to the answer it turned into. And good for them for turning it into, like, they made something popular. And
yeah, really when it came up in one of my football chats recently, someone said, you know, FMK is not the way to run your dynasty team. So
yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And Craig in the chat saying KTC is how I value all the trade offers Rocky sends me. See, that's good on you. You at least value them. I see Rocky sends me an offer and I just reject it. I don't even look.
Basically, how I feel when I see a Russ offer.
But I was about to say, but the thing is, Rocky actually looks at the offers I send him, and it should really be reversed. All right, what's our next question? Our next question, at Roto Heat Craig. If you had to cast each other as someone in the movie Jaws, who would you cast each other as?
This was such a layup for me.
Go ahead.
I had to look up the name because I haven't seen Jaws in 20 years.
It's been forever.
At least 20 years. But the Richard Dreyfuss character is named Matt Hooper, apparently.
Hooper.
And it the beard, the glasses, you're both Jewish. It was just easy. Russ is always the hero of the story anyway. So.
And it's funny. Like, I didn't really have a good answer for this the other way around. And I said, I know it's not right, but I want to be Brody just so I could say, I think we need a bigger boat. That was literally the only thing I could think of when I saw this question. Like, I just want to say, I think we need a bigger boat.
For me, I just figured I'd be one of the people that gets killed by Jaws early in the movie.
I want to be Brody so I could say that. But the truth is, I'm one of the people that ran away scared the second they heard the word shark.
Yep.
Shark, I'm out.
Yep.
And what I love, and Zach brings up who's going to be Bruce, and like I love stupid trivia when it like shapes things, because Jaws is now seen as like a masterclass on suspense, but the thing is, the reason you barely see the shark is because it was too heavy to float; it kept sinking.
Yep.
Like, I love that, and like. You know, Spielberg is such a genius how he did this and he did that. I'm like, no, he just couldn't get people underneath it to hold it high enough.
Yeah.
Like, yes, and the real life Jaws happened not far from where, technically both of us live. But like, yeah, that was New Jersey. Yeah. At our run 13. Hey, Roman, how's it going? Superflex, 0.2 points per carry. What are you willing to give up for Josh Jacobs? I am very, I saw this and I was glad he asked it because again, I just joined the Breaking Bad League, which is 0.25 points per carry. And it's my first points per carry league in recent memory. I was in one a long time ago, but it was also a two tight end league. So
it definitely affects values in that league, too. If you look back at past drafts and stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, that would just confuse me trying to figure out what values were. So how much does it, like, what would Josh Jacobs go for? Because in my mind, in a regular super flex league, I feel like at this point you're lucky to get a first for Josh Jacobs.
I think in a 0.2 or 2.5 points per carry league, you are getting a late first for Josh Jacobs. All those elite guys, obviously you're taking ahead of Josh Jacobs. I think maybe the first couple of wide receivers after that probably go there, especially, I mean, in this draft where there's no great running backs.
Yeah.
I think probably one, whoever gets the best landing spot and is fairly highly rated is going to go in the first round in that kind of draft, and probably all the rest go in the second. But I think Jacobs is right there after that. So probably I would say 110-ish area, you know, after the top six or seven that we kind of have established in regular leagues, a couple wide receivers, the best running back. So like 110, 111, somewhere in there.
Yeah, and I love the landing spot for Jacobs.
Yes, that too.
And like Aaron Jones, I love him, and I love that he landed in Minnesota. But they want a running back. It was very clear that they did not think A.J. Dillon was that guy, which makes me love that they re-signed A.J. Dillon, because you know they don't want him to be that guy.
Yes.
Like, they really don't want him on the field all that much, but he's at this point a vet that knows the system, so he's a great backup. So, I'm firmly in the belief that Josh Jacobs is going to be a workhorse in a good offense. And
still only, 25?
He came in the league at, 14. So, yeah. Something like that. Like, he's the running back equivalent of Amari Cooper, drafted by the same team. So, yeah, he is around, 25, I believe. So, exactly. So like part of me wants to like go and get all of those early seconds in the Breaking Bad league, because I think people are going to jump to try and draft running backs, and these running backs aren't good enough. And that, so let me just sweep up the, what should be the late first wide receivers, like, you know, give me all those, you know, like guys, especially because there's a lot of guys. Like I was on Dynasty Sanctuary. Matt Price and I guested on there with Rich Dynasty Island, and we did a one quarterback mock, and the end of the first was filled with the guys that are being compared to Deebo Samuel, you know, like the Malachi Corleys and the, well, Roman Wilson went later, but like there's so many of them in this class, and I just want like all of them in these leagues because I get to satisfy my love for wide receivers but get a little bit of an advantage at the points per carry.
Yep.
So he asks more questions. Do you prefer to, okay. This is how you know that Roman is for real. Like he's, do you prefer to stack running back quarterbacks from the same team? Stroud, Love, Piss Missile, Herbert, and T-Law. You willing to have their RBs also, so you have a better chance at all the TDs for offense? Shout out to one of the loves of my life, Brian Haar, yep, for Piss Missile. Thank you. Just,
I remember that. That was good stuff, Brian.
Hard hands for Brian. Well, I mean, in general, I don't really care about stacks. Like, it's been sort of proven that they're really like a, do people still use GPP as a phrase, or is it just, do they just say tournaments at this point? Like, I don't pay attention to daily fantasy anymore.
I don't really either.
Yeah, but like that's what stacks really were about. To me, it's just more for fun than anything else. Like, I'll stack, of course, saying like Burrow and Higgins or Burrow and Chase like doesn't count because that's more than just fun. They're just two people that are great at what they do. But like for me, it's just more about fun than anything else. But when it comes to quarterbacks and running backs, I don't like, that feels wrong to me. And like,
I have the same thought. I don't intentionally avoid it if the value works, but I don't like it.
Oh, and apparently Brian Haar stole it from Zach, which means that's why I loved it, because Zach really came up with it. But so there's two ways to think about it. Like Roman says, you are getting the touchdowns in that offense. You know, it is a large majority that either will be passing or running by the, you know, especially if they have a workhorse running back. But that also means if the running back runs it in, your quarterback's not scoring points. It's like the equivalent of why you want to handcuff other people's running backs instead of your own.
It feels like you're capping your upside.
Yeah, you're capping yourself by having both of them. And again, don't get me wrong. I will have a few teams with Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley just by default with how much I have
of both of them.
But also because that's going to be fun for me. And so I'm absolutely there for it. And I actually acquired a few Jordan Love shares and Brock Purdy shares, mostly because I was bored, so I kept downgrading. I do that a lot in the non-point scoring season. I downgrade a quarterback a lot. But that's also how I ended up with a lot of Jalen Hurts before he went, you know, tiered up. So, like, I'm absolutely there for it. Like, I'd be absolutely fine with a Love and Josh Jacobs stack, because I think that offense will be spread out and good enough. And at least someone like Josh Jacobs should catch a decent amount of passes. So that at least does help you out a little bit. Again, it's not something I go out of my way for, but also it's not something I might actively avoid. Like if I'm looking at a trade and it's like, oh, I should take this, oh, but I have the quarterback, I don't want to have the running back. No, I'll take both.
It doesn't. Yeah, it's funny. If you look at the top ADP quarterbacks, there's not a lot of great running backs on those teams. I mean, depending on what, I guess maybe you think of Pacheco with Mahomes.
Yeah, but even still, Pacheco's an RB2.
Yeah, and like the best is probably, like you said, Hurts, Barkley now, but that just happened this offseason.
Yeah.
And like I'm looking, like CJ Stroud doesn't have a, you know, I mean, I'm not that, you know, Mixon is, I mean, but again, fine.
There's an RB2 at this point.
Yeah. Joe Burrow doesn't have anything. Justin Herbert doesn't have anything. There's not a lot of stacks to be had at this point. Anthony Richardson, Jonathan Taylor, maybe.
That is absolutely something. Plus, that is to be said about mobile quarterbacks and the running backs behind them.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah, again, it's not something I've ever really thought about. But it would not deter me from accepting a trade if I thought it would help my team.
Like, yeah, I agree. Yeah.
But again, it's not something I ever thought to go out for. Speaking of at Tacit Assassin 13, which we do so much, since Rocky is a huge fan of musical theater, what is each of your favorite musical?
I'm not saying it's my favorite musical, but I've been listening to because I'm the father of two daughters who are 17 and 22, I've been listening to a lot of the Mean Girls soundtrack recently.
I haven't seen the musical of like the actual, because that was a musical for a while, but we watched the movie version last night.
Yeah, I took them to see it in the theater. I like the original better without the music, but I did like the and now I've gotten into some of the tunes because they keep playing it in my car over and over and over again.
Yeah, it's like why I know most of the words to Taylor Swift songs at this point, because my 8-year-old daughter is a Swiftie. But also, like, I had no choice but to get a lot of the Mean Girls song stuck in my head, because the girl who played Janice was Moana, the voice of Moana.
Yes.
And like, I remember watching it, I'm like, why does this sound so familiar? But the fact that she was like a person and cursing, I'm like, I couldn't
put it together in my head. Weird, yeah.
Like, I couldn't, like, it didn't click in my brain. Like, I would get glimpses of something when she would hit certain notes, but then in the end I'm like, like, I saw the credits and I'm like, that makes so much sense now. Oh my god, she cursed.
I am not really a fan of musical theater as much as Zach would like me to be. So if I was going to actually answer this, it would be super basic, and I'd probably say Hamilton.
Yeah, I mean, but also, again, it's fantastic. It's worthwhile to be people's favorites. A favorite is a strong thing. Like, I've seen Rent 10,000 times, and also because, you know,
I saw the movie version years and years ago. I never saw it actually on stage, but I was in high school
when it, you know, came out on Broadway, and I live in New Jersey, so like so many sweet 16 birthday parties when we went to the city and watched it. And then my wife is a huge Rent person, so we've seen like off Broadway versions of it and everything, and it's good. And like, I feel like cheap saying like, but Spamalot's amazing. You know, like if you like Monty Python and the Holy Grail, you should try and find some version of Spamalot, because it's Monty Python and the Holy Grail with a couple of other things from different movies thrown in there as musicals. Like, so it's really, really good. Also, how many QBs do you think go in the first round of the NFL draft on Thursday? I mean, four seems to be lock. The question is, does someone do something crazy like in that mock and go for Bo Nix?
There's five. I don't think there's six. There's six is crazy.
Yeah. It's funny. We fantasycares.org/draft contest, I want to believe it is. Fantasy Cares, we're running a draft contest. And I filled out the form on one of our live streams. I think it was the end of last week. And the question was, how many get drafted? And I think I said five. Six felt too spicy for me. Like, I couldn't. And yeah, shout out to FF Trader Joe, who works on Aladdin. I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen any of the Disney musicals.
I actually saw Lion King years ago.
I haven't seen
my son to it.
It's not.
I wasn't as wowed by it as people led me to believe I should be.
Yeah, because there is huge hype around that. Well, there was. Yeah. Now it's been far too long that people don't talk much about it anymore. But like, when that first came out, it was like the bee's knees, man. Like, it was everything. Yeah. So like, it's funny. Like, it's almost at the point where I'm a little worried that this draft is going to be chalk and boring. And even though we have these players that we're excited for, we're just like, oh, one. Okay. Two. Okay. Three,
yeah.
Okay. That almost makes me hope the Vikings do something stupid and take Bo Nix at 23.
Like, I'm sure they will.
Oh man, I hope.
And then Scott Fish will tweet about it.
I was about to say, like, I'm hoping we do a live stream for the draft on the Fantasy Cares, and I get to see Scott's face when they do that. Like, because nothing will ever, no live streaming draft experience.
Shane.
Yep. Was better than watching Shane Manila when the Eagles drafted Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. Every Philadelphian was pissed with that would have.
He left. He slammed his stuff and walked away. he didn't log off. He didn't hit the leave studio button. He just, and like, I started texting everyone I knew from Philly, like, have you seen a crazy man running through the streets? They're like, it's Philly. Yes. Fair enough. Have you seen Shane Manila running through the streets? They're like, no. And then Frank pointing out, we said that last year, and then JSN and Charbonnet were the Seahawks. Oh, I'm still angry about that. Though I'm still crossing my fingers on the hope of three wide receiver set. JSN was getting more and more looks last year anyway, that he becomes that real two over Tyler Lockett. And he, JSN and Metcalf are very different enough that I'm not super worried. Like, two wide receivers can exist in an offense. And Pete Carroll's gone, so they're not going to run the ball 8,000 times a season.
I hope. R.I.P. Charbonnet. Yeah.
All right, well, that's the end of our show sheet. So unless anything crazy comes in the chat in the next few seconds, that's going to be the end of our show. If you are not a Patreon of ours and you've had fun watching this or listening and it sounded like so much fun for people that were hanging around, because it was, patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. You can hang out with us while we record every single week. We also have, yes, they've said many, many times that for some reason they keep bringing up Royce Freeman.
I know.
I don't know. Like, we were talking
like
about
a running back, joke.
Everyone's bringing up Royce Freeman. So patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. You can hang out with us when we record. We have our Cool Kids Club, the chat on Discord, which is a lot of fun stuff. But at this point, everything in my life is Fantasy Cares. Like I said, fantasycares.org/draft contest. You can join our draft contest. Yeah, my bad. That was a little redundant. But, you know, we always have awesome giveaway stuff. And it's Fantasy Cares. So every single contest, we'll probably be giving away Scott Fishbowl 14 spots. Again, if you were a patron, you could see me holding up a golden ticket into SFB. Very, very exciting. If you go to scottfishbowl.com, you can, A, make sure you're signed up for SFB 14, because if you're not, you can't get in. B, if you are interested in live events, even if you're just interested in going and not drafting, which is what I am doing to as many as humanly possible, because I can't stand the pressure of a live draft with that many people around. I would absolutely choke and not be able to I'd hide under the table at some point. But they're a lot of fun. Like, I went to New York's live draft because last year they did New York and Philly on the same day. Who does a New York and a Philly event on the same day? Rookies. Rookie mistakes. They're not this year, so it's fine.
Ridiculous.
So but yeah, so at the same place, there's a sign-up drop-down where you can let us know you're interested in a live event. Again, you can choose whether just to go or to go or just draft only. And let us know, because we'd be interested to know if you're interested, because we care. We care about you. Fantasy Cares. It's in the name. And at this point, I'm rambling. So thank you, everyone, for, you know, who was hanging out with us for this entire show.
Yes.
You know, going live is always fun. And, man, your talk saved us from having a 36-minute show, because we did not have much going for us before. but we broke an hour, and that's all that really matters. So good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants.
Daddy's the best.
Yeah.